The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, last Sunday we learned from the word of God how a happy Christian home is to be founded. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But the successful founding of a home does not assure its permanent prosperity and happiness. Having made their beginning in the name of Jesus, the founders of the home also must continue therein. This implies that they conduct their home life in strict conformity with the Word of God. The fundamental problem of the married estate is contained in the question, what is the proper relation between husband and wife? This problem is encountered on the very threshold of a new home. It must be solved, and unless it is solved speedily and in the light of Holy Scriptures, there will be a dwarfed and blighted home life, bitter disappointment, endless grief, and at length, perhaps, even divorce. This is a factor on which many marriages break down. So let us now consider the proper relation between husband and wife. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the proper relation between husband and wife is illustrated and exalted by a comparison to the relationship between Christ and the church. In portraying the ideal marriage relation, St. Paul likens it to the unique relationship existing between Christ and the church. Thus, the apostle provides husbands and wives with a perfect and inspiring pattern. The essence of the relationship between Christ and the church is love. Our text says in verse 23, Christ also loved the church. This was not a theoretical, empty-handed love, for he gave himself for her, and that not merely in part or for a season, but completely and permanently. And why did he give himself? That he might be the Saviour of the church, and that the church through him might be sanctified and cleansed. Having given himself for the church belongs to him. Hence he nourishes and cherishes it. By the means of grace, he continues to cleanse, sanctify and adorn it in order that the church, as his bride, may in due time be presented to him immaculate, holy and glorious. And this same thought is expressed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Such is the marvellous, self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ. His chief concern is not his own person, but the church and its salvation. The church, in turn, loves Jesus. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that we love him because he first loved us, not indeed with a perfect love, but with a sincere love that earnestly strives for perfection. At the beginning of the service, we sang these words, Thee will I love, my life, my Saviour, who art my best and truest friend. Thee will I love and praise for ever, for never shall thy kindness end. Thee will I love with all my heart, for thou my bridegroom art. Our text continues, Christ is the head of the church, and the church is subject to Christ. Note that this subordination of the church to Christ is a direct result of their mutual love. Without love, this relationship would be impossible. Christ is the head only by reason of his love and for the purpose of exercising it to the fullest extent. He does not rule the church with an iron hand of the law. There is no coercion, no tyranny, for in his kingdom the sole law is love, and the sole government is by means of the gospel, and the sole aim is the salvation of the sinner. This is, of course, the kingdom of grace. The church is subject to Christ, but in love. This is a voluntary, cheerful subjection, the adoring submission of the regenerated soul, a willing and eager service, and a blessing privileged. We read in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. The true believer glories in the fact that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. St. Paul was such a servant of Christ, as you read in Romans chapter 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister or servant of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. This beautiful relationship between Christ and the church is chosen by the apostle as the best pattern for the relationship between husband and wife. Thus, the marriage relationship is highly exalted. Furthermore, as the text says, it is a great mystery, a type or illustration of the relationship between Christ and the church. Secondly, the proper relationship between husband and wife, considered from the opposite viewpoint of the wife and the husband. The basis of the successful marriage is love. Husbands, love your wives. Where love is lacking, there can be no happiness in the home. How foolish, therefore, to marry for wealth, social advancement, mere expediency, or even sensual gratification. Where husband and wife are united by faith in Christ, their love for each other will be refined, deepened, and sanctified, for it will consistently pattern itself after Jesus, the ideal bridegroom. This means that the husband is the head of the wife, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. There is to be a well-organized and sympathetic cooperation between husband and wife, the husband being the head and the wife a helper comparable to him, a helper fit for him, a complementary counterpart. This conception of the marriage relationship is contrary to the popular idea of being a team. In this day of the liberation of women, such an idea is regarded as antiquated, barbarous, pernicious, and unworkable. Even in Christian homes, it is often ignored or even disregarded altogether. But remember, the subjection of the wife to the husband is commanded by God. He is the best organizer after all, and he knows that every organization, in order to function properly, must have one head, and also in the family. Where this God-given rule and fundamental principle of organization is violated or disregarded, there will always be confusion and sorrow. So, considered from the viewpoint of the wife, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Note that this statement concerning the headship of the husband is addressed to the wife and not to the husband. She is reminded that A, the husband is the head, as we also read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. To the woman, he said, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And in verse 7 and 8, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is in the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Secondly, she must therefore submit herself to him. Verse 22 says, "Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord and respect him." And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, "Wives, submit your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission." St. Peter expresses the same thought in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of you do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of their wives. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Thirdly, she is to be subject in everything, that is, in everything pertaining to the marriage estate, but not in spiritual things. So fourthly, it should be a free, willing, joyful submission, patterned after the church subjection to Christ and prompted not by law or the force of circumstances, but by unadulterated love. And finally, she serves the Lord by being subject to her husband, as verse 22 tells us. The wife subjecting to her husband is part of her Christian conduct. So, considered from the viewpoint of the husband, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. St. Paul stresses that the chief duty of the husband toward the wife is love. Likewise, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them." He is to love her as himself, as his own body. This is a moral obligation and a natural self-evident thing, for no one ever hated his own flesh. The apostle, moreover, shows that the headship of the husband brings with it a greater responsibility and necessitates greater sacrifices. While the wife finds a pattern for her attitude toward her husband in the church's attitude toward Christ, the husband is to pattern his attitude toward his wife after Christ's attitude toward the church. And here we note the difference. This implies giving himself to and for his wife in the fullest sense of the words, providing for her and protecting her, advancing her interests with self-effacing devotion, which means keeping himself in the background, regarding her as his most precious treasure, his glory and his joy, and at last but not least, exercising his headship not as a dictator who compels obedience by threats and penalties of the law, but as one who draws with bands of love, just as Jesus Christ does, as we read in John chapter 12, verse 32. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This, then, is a proper relationship between husband and wife, as outlined in the Holy Scriptures. Far from being antiquated, barbarous, pernicious, and unworkable, it is the only ideal marriage relationship, beautiful, satisfying, inspiring, and practical. When this relationship is maintained, happiness in the home will not be wanting. So let us recall Jesus being invited to the wedding in Cana, recorded in John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. The bridal couple in Cana were fortunate to have Jesus bless their wedded life. It makes a world of difference whether or not Jesus is invited to our weddings and into our homes. He is able to provide for all our needs and to transform our homes into havens of laughter and cheer. There is no spot on earth so beautiful as a home with loving parents and happy, obedient children united in the bond of Christ's love. Jesus, no doubt, was a friend of the bridal couple. It is of utmost importance that we learn to know Jesus early in life and begin to seek his guidance when we are young. A pastor remembered a home of a young couple. It was a little bit of heaven on earth. Long before their marriage, they had sought God's guidance. Already as a boy, the young man had prayed to God that he would guide him to find his life partner. God heard his prayer and blessed his home. So too, he will bless the marriage estate of all who seek his help. So let us conclude with the words of the hymnist, O happy home, where thou art loved the dearest, thou loving friend and saviour of our race, and where among the guests there never cometh one who can hold such a high and honoured place. O happy home, where two in heart united, in holy faith and blessed hope are one, where both to thee their love have truly plighted, and serve thee till their earthly course is run. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.